We're going to be in the book of Luke, Luke in chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 40. We want to talk about Jesus this evening as a child, the idea being the maturity that he shows and what happens when you grow. So, verse 40, we're going to read to the end of the chapter. So, Luke 2 verse 40 says, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his father knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Let's pray before we start. Dear Father, we do thank you again for this day that you've given us, that we can be here this evening. Help us tonight, Lord, that we'd be able to listen to what you have to say to us. Lord, help us not to be distracted. Give me wisdom as well, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first question that comes to my mind as I read this story is, what did Jesus do at night? Did someone take him in? Did he sleep in the temple and just hang out there for 4 days and no one seemed to question anything? What was Jesus doing the rest of the time? Like, was he in the temple 4 days? Because it was 4 days before his parents found him. One on the road, or maybe it was 3 days. Anyway, it was a few days, however many days you want to count it as, before Jesus was found. But the phrase I want to look at this evening and focus on tonight is in verse 40, and it's the first little bit there. It says, "And the child grew." I want us to think this evening about our growth as Christians. Do we grow? Are we growing? We want to use Jesus as our example in all things, and if we look through this passage, we see Jesus growing, Jesus maturing, it says in verse 52 as well, increasing in wisdom and stature. Growing is needful, and it's sometimes painful. Sometimes it's physical pain. Sometimes people have growing pains. I don't think I ever had growing pains because I didn't really grow. I've been this size for a long, long time, longer than a lot of you here have been alive, which makes me feel very old and very small at the same time. But I didn't have growing pains. I had growing pains in other ways. There was a year, probably 5 or 6 years ago now, when Callum and I and some others went down to the NBF in Melbourne at the time. We went down there and we hung out with our pastor at the time, which was Luke Highland. A lot of you guys have met him at camp. And we went through the morning service, and then they were splitting up. They were going, there's the youth event, there's the men, there's the women. And I was like, youth event. And I decided, I'm going to go to the youth event. And I started to get up, and Luke, I was sitting next to, said, "How old are you?" And I said, "Well, not quite a youth. I don't remember how old I was, 25 or 26, something like that." And he said, "At what stage are you going to start acting like a man? At what stage are you going to become a grown-up?" And I thought, at this rate, never. The youth event looks fun. They're doing, that soccer where you get inside the big balls? That's my jam. I was going to that. But Pastor Luke really convicted me and said, you know, there has to come a stage where you start to grow up. I was not happy, but it did strike home. And so I sat back down with all the old, boring men, as far as I was concerned. And I learned a lot of stuff. I can't remember, I think you were there too. The old, boring men and Callum, sorry. But that was a growing pain for me. It was painful to sit there while I think, other people are kicking a ball right now. Other people are having fun. I'm just sitting here. There's an old man in a suit, and I'm just listening. There was a growing pain for me. It was a good thing. I grew. I learned a lot of things I needed to know. I met my future wife at that NBF, so I mean, I would have met her at the youth event too, because she was there. So, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other. Doesn't really matter. Anyway, there are growing pains in our lives, but the growth is what makes it apparent to other people that you're alive, that you're changing. As Christians, we don't want to stay the same level that we were when we got saved. We don't want to be asking the same questions. We don't want to be thinking the same things if they're not right. So we're going to look tonight at three things it says the child grew in verse 40. The first one says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. He waxed strong. He was empowered in spirit. If you go down to verse 46, when Joseph and Mary find Jesus, he's not on the playground. He's not hanging around an ice cream parlor. He's in the temple. In verse 46, it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking questions. He's speaking to adults as an adult. He's speaking on his own to people who are far, far older than him. He's waxing strong in spirit. So the first thing we see is when we begin to grow as Christians, our conversation should change. It shouldn't stay the way it was. When Finn was just born, he made lots of weird squealy noises. He still makes lots of weird squealy noises, but now there's little words that are popping through. But then, I don't want him just to have those few words in a couple of years. I want him to be like Patty and to be able to talk to me about what's going on. It's such a, I don't know if I can explain it in a way to people who aren't parents here this evening, but it's such an amazing thing when your child is crying to know what they're crying about. And I come into the room at night, and like, what's the matter? If it's Finn, he's just wailing. He could be hot, he could be cold, he could be hungry, he could have fallen over, there could be a mozzie annoying him. Patty tells me what the matter is now. He needs water, or he can't find his pillow and he's disoriented, or whatever it is, he can communicate with me. We don't want to stay as Christians on a spiritual level where we can only talk in goo-goos and gagas. We want to be able to converse with other Christians, converse with God. Our conversation is going to change. 1 Corinthians in verse 13. If you've got a bookmark, keep it in Luke, because we're going to be there most of this evening. But 1 Corinthians in chapter 13 has a very important verse that we're going to be looking and thinking about a lot tonight. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. This is a very important verse for us as Christians. Whatever age we are, or however spiritually mature we are, we need to be remembering to put off the childish things. There are things we don't need to be doing. We can do for ourselves. We're adults. We see the way it's worded there in verse 40 back in Luke 2. He grew strong. He waxed strong in spirit. He had a confidence. There was a strong spirit about him. He had a confidence in his God. A confidence that comes from maturing. When my boys were very small, they didn't really know who I was. Someone was holding them. But now they have a confidence in me. They will jump to me. They will come to me when their brother bites them on the nose. Whatever's going on in their lives, they can come to their father and talk to their dad about it, or cry to their dad about it, whatever happens at the time. There's a confidence in God that comes from testing God and proving him. I think about Peter in the New Testament walking on the water. There was not a history of people walking on the water before that time. He couldn't go, well, there's a precedent. Other people have walked on water. I'm going to step out. He tested God. He tested Jesus, and Jesus proved himself. Do you know how much stronger in spirit Peter became after that? Yes, I walked on water to Jesus, and when I sank, he pulled me up. I've pushed God to the limit. I pushed God to change the laws of physics, and he did it for me. There's a confidence that comes from testing God and him proving himself to you. The second point, in verse 40, it says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. The next part says, filled with wisdom. It's pretty rare to find a wise child. Sometimes they say something just because they're brutally honest, but it's not normally because they're wise about something. Patty tells me when I look bad. He says it way too much, hurts my feelings. But that's not wisdom. That's the blunt and honest truth that hurts. But Jesus was filled with wisdom. If we look in verse 47, it says, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So they were astonished at two things. The first one was his understanding. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. I'm just going to turn there real quick.
1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Milk is for growing. But Jesus is beyond the point now where he needs the milk. Now he's understanding the things that are a higher level. He doesn't need to sit in the kindergarten class at the tabernacle. He can go and talk to the doctors. He's maturing. He's growing. He listens. When someone understands something, they can listen. It's a hard thing for a small child to listen. They might hear, but listening is a different thing. Listening takes actions. Hearing is passive. Listening is active. So he listened. It says his understanding. They were astonished at his understanding. He's taking all of this stuff in, and he's getting it. That's a hard thing. If you're a teacher and you're talking to kids, you can see in the class, some kids are understanding, and some kids are biting their toenails. And there's a definite divide. You can see who's understanding and who that it's just gone right over their heads. Jesus was understanding things at his age that it says they were astonished at. So he listened. And then the other thing they were astonished at the end of that verse, and answers. All that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. So not only did he listen, he participated. He didn't just sit there and soak it all in. He was talking back and forth. There was a conversation happening. As Christians, it's easy for us to do one or the other, to have all the answers or to just listen and never talk. God wants both of those things from us. As maturing Christians, he wants us to be listening and he wants us to be answering. God doesn't want to have a one-sided conversation with us. He wants to have a conversation that we're a part of. There was a phrase that I saw this week, I don't remember where, but it said, the weak take and the strong give. We're thinking about ages of maturity. A child can't give very much. They need to be fed, they need to be changed and clothed and bathed and all of this stuff. But at some stage, they stop doing those things and start doing it for themselves. And then they start to give back. Then they start to do the things you ask them to do. Then they start to see needs and fill the holes that they find. They're reciprocating in the relationship. One of the big differences, I think, between children and adults, even in families, is the level at which the children can reciprocate, can contribute to that relationship and take part in it, and not just be the parent looking after them the whole time, but the child now has stuff that they can do back. They're getting to the age where they go, my parents need help with this, I'm going to jump in and do it. I'm still waiting, but at some stage I'm hoping it comes in because, you know, I'm a pessimist. No, I'm an optimist. I'm neither, I'm a realist. Anyway, so from verse 47 we see some important points. One of them is that questions are an important part of growing. Questions are encouraged by all good teachers. It's disheartening for a teacher to go, are there any questions? And nobody raises their hand, which means they're just the best teacher in the world and everything was explained perfectly, or that no child wants to speak up and ask the questions and they're not going to understand the next stage because they didn't get this stage. Jesus was hearing and understanding and answering the questions that were being thrown at him. As Christians in our spiritual life, a sign of maturity is asking questions. We're not just accepting the things that someone up the front is telling us. The Bible talks about the Berean church, that they studied these things daily to see whether these things were so. We need to be those Christians that go, that sounds really good, I'm going to see what the Bible actually says. This evening, this afternoon, after the business meeting, a few of us sat at the back and talked just about questions, just about stuff we thought about in the Bible. We talked about dress and modesty and long hair and all kinds of weird things that we had questions about. And that's a sign of a healthy, growing person, is that they know that they don't know. That's a really important point for us as Christians, to know that we don't have all the answers. Other people have some answers too, and that's where we're talking. And then we see in verse 47, it says, verse 40 still, he was filled with wisdom. I looked up this word fill just to make sure that it wasn't something weird. And it has the idea of to cram, to be completed with, to be imbued with. It almost has the idea that he's not just filled with wisdom, he is the wisdom. The wisdom and him are the same thing. He is so much wisdom that it's just him. Jesus was the wisdom, which is a crazy thing to think about, having that much wisdom. We've been talking in Sunday school, we've been going through Ecclesiastes, talking about Solomon being the wisest man that there ever was. Within reason. having so much wisdom, but it didn't seem to fill him. He made so many mistakes. He married 1,000 women. I mean, I'm not saying it was a mistake. I'm just saying I wouldn't have done it. I'll leave it up to Solomon. He was wiser than me, so who knows? We're going to go to verse 48 before we go on to the next point. Verse 48 says, "And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business?" Before we go to the next point, under being filled with wisdom, it was wise for Jesus and mature of Jesus not to shirk that responsibility. He took responsibility for what had happened. He doesn't go, "I just got lost of time," or "Don't tell me what to do." He didn't do any of those excuses. A sign of growth is taking responsibility. Where we work, we have big posters on the walls that talk about the culture, and they're really pushing the culture this year, and they've got all kinds of graphics and bright colors and things. And the first thing, this is the family that owns our business, that lives in Victoria somewhere and owns 5 or 6 huge hardware companies. It's the same in all their businesses, and the first step for their culture is take responsibility. Even an unsaved man knows that responsibility is a sign of maturity. Yes, I did the wrong thing. Usually, if someone's responsible enough to admit that, they don't get in a lot of trouble. If you've been to my work recently, you will have seen a big roller door with a big orange strip all the way along the bottom from where somebody driving a forklift without paying attention rammed into it, and it dinged it all the way out. And so he was very good about it. He took responsibility. He said, "Oh, I just crashed into the building." And everyone was like, "Well, okay then, we'll fix this problem." Nobody said, "You know what, it's coming out of your pay." You took responsibility. And the next step that they say is everybody contributes, which is another sign of maturity. You're not just going, "That's somebody else's job." You take responsibility for what you're doing, and it makes everyone else's job easier. But you don't realize that as a child. You don't realize that if you take responsibility, it's going to help you. It's going to work out better in the end. Normally, you're just thinking about, if I take responsibility for this, I'm going to get in trouble. Which you probably will. You still get in trouble. But it's better for you in the long run. I'm thinking of examples where me and Callum took responsibility and didn't, but I'm not going to throw them up because my dad is here and he still scares me. All right. So, the next point. Back to Luke and verse 40. The last thing it says in that verse, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom." And now this phrase here, "And the grace of God was upon him." The grace of God was upon him. The favor of God was upon him. The pleasure of God was upon him. God was pleased and was blessing Jesus. If you look down in verse 48, "And when they saw him, they were amazed." And this isn't the same group of people. This is not the doctors and the physicians and everyone talking to Jesus. This is Jesus' parents. Joseph and Mary were amazed at where he was and what he was doing. It's not very often your parents are amazed by what you're doing. Normally they kind of expected you to be in that pile of dirt or wherever it is anyway. Joseph and Mary were amazed at the grace of God upon this 12-year-old boy. As we look through the Bible, and this is a point, if we don't remember anything else tonight, this is the thing I want us to remember, is that God blesses growth. God blesses growth. He doesn't just let you go and watch you from a distance. He actively blesses it. He sees you making the effort. He sees you asking the questions, becoming wiser. And he blesses that. People were astonished. And not only does God bless growth, God wants growth. He wants mature Christians. He doesn't want to have heaven full of kindergarten Christians. He wants a church and he wants heaven full of Christians who understand what he's done for them in as much completeness as they can. We don't want in our church to not have an adult Sunday school class and just spread you all out evenly amongst the other classes, and some of you can go color in with the littlies, and some of you can do finder words with the middlers, and some of you can eat snacks and sit on the floor with the teenagers, and some of you can argue for 15 minutes longer than you need to in the young adults class. We don't need to do that because there's an adult class where you go to grow. Okay? The idea of Sunday school classes in different age groups, it's not just the age groups, it's the hopefully spiritual maturity as well. I can teach things in the teenage Sunday school class. I hope that India is not going to teach to the littlies. Hopefully we're not going to be doing the same things or the same crossword puzzles or anything like that. We want to have maturity in the church. We want to see the people growing. Otherwise, there is no use us having Sunday school. Sunday school is built on the premise that people grow, that people mature. And if we're not doing that, if we're deciding to stay in a certain age group, we can't do that. Sometimes in churches, in youth groups, there's people who stay in youth group much longer than they should. And they keep coming to events, and you go, that's great, you want to be there, but you're also very, very old. But they can't get over that maturity level. That's what I was like at NBF. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. If you come to help, that's a blessing. But there needs to be a difference between a mature Christian and a young Christian. And if we all hang out at the same place and do the same activities, we're never going to grow. When Luke Highland poked me and said, where do you think you're going? He wasn't saying, you can't have fun anymore. He was saying, you need to grow up a little bit. And I had to do that, and it's been good for me since then. So Jesus is these three things. He's growing. He waxed strong in spirit. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now we're going to go. We know the story. We just read it. To verse 52, the last verse in the chapter. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus is growing at the beginning of this story. He hasn't stopped growing. He's still growing at the end of this story. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature in favor with God and man after this happened. It wasn't like Jesus got to a certain point and was, I've already talked to everybody. I can relax now and just wait till I'm 33. He continued to grow in four things. Let's have a look. He grows in wisdom. So he's continuing to ask questions. He's continuing to learn. It's so important for us as Christians to continue to learn. And if you're not learning anything, then look somewhere else. Find some books. Read your Bible by yourself. Don't rely on the people up the front on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night to fill all the needs that you have. You need to be learning on your own. Abby and I were talking this week about school, how we learned, where we learned. And I was telling her, I remember almost nothing from school. I wasn't a good student. It didn't sink in. It wasn't the way I learned. But when I got into the workforce, when I got my apprenticeship as a locksmith, they were so pleased with me. I remember a man calling me a sponge because I just soaked everything in. I kept asking questions and getting answers and asking other questions and getting answers. And I grew. And I found there is a way for me to learn. It's just not sitting in the classroom. And being interested in the subject is so important. If you have no interest in the Bible, you need to go way back before all this and go, am I even saved? Not am I maturing, am I even saved? Once we're saved, there should be an interest in the scriptures, in God and our relationship with him, that we want to find out more things. We want to ask more questions. We want to keep learning about these things, and that's a sign of our growth. So Jesus continued to increase in wisdom. And then it says in stature, in size, in strength, Jesus continued to grow. As Christians, we need to be growing in stature spiritually. We need to be exercising our spiritual muscles. You know, we talked about Peter getting out of the boat. Exercising our spiritual muscles, exercising our faith, putting God to the test and going, can God do this? I'm going to find out. The answer is yes, God can do this. We look through the scriptures, we look through the stories of the missionaries. I think about these men who, the one that always gets me is C.T. Studd, who went to India and China and Africa. And when he went to Africa, he was so old, none of his family would come with him. A decrepit old man that gets off the boat in Africa. I think he died there. I don't remember. I think he died there. But his whole life he pushed. He said, will God do this? Will God do this? And he pushed, and it was an active relationship with God. We talked a little bit this morning in Sunday school about the phrase, the door was closed. I hate that phrase. Doors are there to be opened. If the door's locked, that's different. But give it a shove. Turn the handle. Knock on it. Do something. Don't just see the door closed and go, and walk away. Do something. God doesn't bless lazy people. God blesses people who go for things. Grow our spiritual muscles. Find ways to test God. God wants to be tested. God wants you to go, all right, God, let's see if you can do this.
That's what he wants. He doesn't want a passive relationship where we just sit in one place and read the same verse over and over again. He wants an active, growing relationship. So he increased in stature. And then it says, and in favor with God and man. We're going to split these two. So first of all, in favor with God. That's impressive. If we go to Job in chapter 1, Job 1 and verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? That's an amazing recommendation from God. Have you seen my servant Job? Job was in favor with God, and it says here that Jesus was as well, increased in favor with God. I also had a passage in 2 Samuel. Let's turn there. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 10. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. Like we said before, God blesses growth. If you're growing, you're going to be in favor with God. And then the second one there is in favor with man. He grew in favor with God and man. Now we're going to go to 1 Samuel and look at one other character in 1 Samuel, and we're going to start in chapter 2. First Samuel 2 and verse 26. Now these, I'm going to read two passages. They're both about Samuel. The first one says, and the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. This is the only other time I can see this in scriptures. It talks about Jesus growing in favor with God and man, and Samuel growing in favor with God and man. And then if we go to chapter 3, the next chapter over, we look in verse 19. It says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan, even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Not only did God love Samuel's growth, people loved Samuel's growth. It's nothing is more encouraging than to see a young Christian growing and asking those questions and wanting to know more and coming to you with questions that you can't answer. And then you have to do some growing too. It's a vicious, vicious cycle. When I read the scriptures, it helps me to stop and think, why did they write that? Not just, it's written down. Why do they put that in there? They put it in there twice, in verse 40 and in verse 52, Jesus growing in different areas. We think about Jesus as a fully formed Savior of the world, but he also grew. He grew in these things, in wisdom and in stature. He grew strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. Verse 49, this is where we're going to finish. Verse 49, and he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? We want to take Jesus as our role model. We want to be about our Father's business. Our Father doesn't send babies to do work. Our Father sends mature people to do his work. We must be about our Father's business. Now, we don't know what that looks like 100% for each person. It's different things. There are things we can do in church. Our church is in a time of transition. Our pastor's about to retire. The Johnsons have left to go to the mission field. Different people have come. Different people have gone and are continuing to move. There are job openings in the church. There are things to do. There's a cleaning roster. There's a mowing roster. There you go, Will. Plug for the mowing roster. There are jobs to do. There was a working bee yesterday. If you look around, things are cleaner. There's different bits of wood outside. Slowly things are going to keep happening in the church, we hope, because that's the sign that the church is growing. If the church stays the way it is, we talked about this afternoon too, about going back to a church after 7 years that was exactly the same. We want to be a church, not just individuals, but a church that is maturing, a church that is growing in the right direction. So find jobs to do. And then we need to follow Jesus' example, find people to question. Find people who know more than us. For me, that's not hard. Find people who know more about different things and pester them until they give you answers. And then, like Jesus did in the same place at the same time, find people to answer. Don't just be on one side of the relationship. Find someone you can ask questions to, and find someone who's going to ask questions of you. That's how growth happens. Growth happens
from that back and forth.
We're going to read verse 52 again, then we're going to stop. Verse 52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Let's pray. Dear Father, we do thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this example in your scriptures of Jesus before his ministry really officially begins. Thank you, Lord, for the example for us needing to grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Lord, help us find ways to do that. Help us not to be passive Christians. Lord, I pray you'd help this church so that we continue to grow. I pray you bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.